Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 44. Just opening that. In the transcendental sphere, there is no distinction between the object and its qualities, and no such identity as is found in the limited mundane region. And so in the mundane region, the thing and its qualities are different, because the qualities are actually Krishna, right? And anything that's there is that. So you have the external energy, and then it's Krishna's qualities. The Brahman is pervading it. Same time, everything's Krishna, so you have that, but there's still, it's not the inherent quality of the thing itself. It's how Krishna has expanded into it. Because as Pradhan, he's not expanding into it in that capacity. So you don't see that quality. Yes. But in the spiritual world, there is no difference. Hence, those qualities that seem to be apparently contradictory in the light of mundane conception, limited by time and space, exist in agreeable and dainty concordance in the spiritual realm. Right, so they're agreeable and in fine ways, a refined way they can work together. Right, so there's no problem. So it's, if you see contradictory qualities, it's harmonious because that is the nature of the individual. So you don't, here it's, there'll be a difference because there's a difference between the body and the soul.
Yes.
Like that. There's a difference. Right? So, yeah. So this, everything is different. But here, there, there's not. Akin to the first verse of Sri Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, each word of this sloka is significant and worthy of its own explanation. Advaita. The word Advaita can signify Krishna's complete wholeness, despite his unlimited expansion. Advaita means invisible, or indivisible truth, who is knowledge absolute. Okay. Brahman, the infinite, emanates from him as his effulgence, and God immanent, Paramatma, as his constituent. But nevertheless, he remains one and indivisible. Brahma Samhita 5.33 purport.
This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's purport?
If it says like that, purport generally would be. Probably, I would expect.
Yeah.
But just whether it's the BBT or whether it's Bhagamarsh or not, I'm not sure. Okay, indivisible truth who is knowledge absolute. So the Brahman emanates from his effulgence and God immanent, then Paramatma is how God is pervading everything and as his constituent. So he's representing a portion of the Lord's power. Right? So that's, now, it's not that Paramatma doesn't have all the attributes and everything. It's just that how much do you need to interact? You know, you're sitting there, you're Paramatma in the body of a donkey. How much do you have to interact? It's not a whole lot. Okay. You know, grass. Okay. No, you don't get any. You know, it's like that.
Yeah.
Work. You know, you don't want to do? Sorry. You know, so it's not a lot you're dealing with there. Just thinking of the last donkey. Point. Is that, the last point is, oh, you want your face rearranged? No problem. There's a female donkey. You know, so
knock yourself out, so to speak.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Okay, this is Krishna, who is understood by Achinta Beda Beda Tattva philosophy. Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnameva Vashishyate, Ishupanishad invocation. Krishna is always complete, and although he can create millions of universes, all of them in all opulences, he remains as opulent as ever without any change, Advaitam. This is explained by different Vaishnava acharyas through philosophies such as Vishuddha-dvaita, Vishishta-dvaita, and Dvaita-dvaita. Therefore, one must learn about Krishna from the acharyas. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:13-19. So, yeah, we understand from this, then we can get it very nicely. So the acharyas will explain all this, the various aspects of that. So in other words, the pureness of the oneness, the specialness of the oneness, right, or the oneness and the difference. But, you know, we'll explain them all together. Like that. Yeah? According to the Vedic version, Ekam Bahusham, he can expand himself into many thousands of millions, but still remain one. In that sense, everything is spiritual because everything is an expansion of Krishna. That is, everything is an expansion either of Krishna himself or of his potency. Because the potency is non-different from the potency and the potent are one. Shakti, shakti matayor abheda. The Mayavadis, however, say chit achit samanvaya, spirit and matter are one. This is a wrong conception. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:13-39 purport.
Yep. It says here that everything is either expansion of Krishna, of his energy, or from his energy. What's an expansion from Krishna?
Means Brahman and Paramatma.
Only?
And other Bhagavan teachers.
Avatars.
So, all the avatars, so all the Swamsa, Vibhinamsa.
Whatever we study in the Bible, that's from Krishna.
That's from Krishna.
And from his energy, us and the...
Internal potency, external potency. But there, being those are the major categories. Then you have all the refinement within them. There'll be so many aspects of, you know, so you have the Shri aspect, Bhu aspect, Nila aspect, combinations of those. Like that. Yep. Dvaitam also denotes the absolute non-difference between him and his form, right? So everything that's there is non-different from him. At the same time as he remains the complete whole as an individual. But it's not that, only when you get everything together then he'll be a complete person. That's one of the Mayavad philosophies, is that you when everybody goes, then it will be complete. So then, you know, then what are you doing? Why bother merging in Brahman now? Because it won't be complete until everybody else is merged in Brahman.
And yet Brahman does not transform.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. Problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, therefore, he always remains, even though he's expanding as everything and is non-different from everything. Like that. Non-difference between him and his form. A living entity forgets everything due to his change of body, but the Lord remembers because he does not change his Sakchidananda body. He is Advaita, which means there's no distinction between his body and himself. Bhagavad Gita 4.5 purport. It can also mean unrivaled. Advaita means that Govinda has no equal in the world, just as a king is incomparable to others. In what aspect is the Lord actually Advaita or incomparable? Taking the literal meaning, Krishna is incomparable in giving his own body to his devotees. Dig Darshani Tika 5.33. Right, so how much he surrenders to the devotees, gives himself to the devotees, that's incomparable. Achyuta. The word Achyuta in some contexts mirrors the Advaita notion that Krishna remains the, quote, undiluted whole of fullest perfection. It also signifies the Lord's infinite mercy. Kashi Kanda explains the word Achyutam. He is called Achyuta, all-pervading, indestructible, and supreme in all the worlds, because by his mercy, his devotees do not fall from their exalted positions, even at the time of destruction of the universe. because he protects the devotees. Where it was being discussed is the element of the Lord protecting the devotees. That was an aspect.
Poshanam.
Okay. Yeah, so it was early in the Bhagavatam.
Yes.
How can we say that he alone remains and is thus called Achyuta? Vishnu alone remains after Pralaya. No, the actual meaning should be that he suffers no degradation by giving himself to his devotees. That is why he's called Achyuta. He does not ever fail to take pleasure in his devotees. So there the Achyuta is. He's perfectly infallible. Is that he's always there for the devotees, always supporting the devotees. Additionally, it conveys the sense of the Lord's utter infallibility. But so that on the God platform, then, he's infallible because he's perfect. You know, he's transcendental, everything's coming from him. He remains the complete whole, so you have the element like a dvaita. But here is then being brought out more the element of that potion, of that connection with the devotees, that he's infallible there. He's always there for the devotees. The Lord is described in the Brahma Samhita as infallible, Achyuta, which means that he never forgets himself, even though he is in material contact. Therefore, the Lord and the living entity can never be equal in all respects, even if the living entity is as liberated as Arjuna. Although Arjuna is a devotee of the Lord, he sometimes forgets the nature of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 4.5 purport. The Lord just doesn't, so he remembers everything. So that's a lot of memory.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the jiva just by nature may forget, you know, because of their size or, you know, for the conditioned soul, because of changing the body. But even if they're liberated, it's still just the size is, you know, there. But it's not a problem. Krishna doesn't neglect us any less because we are small. Anadi. The standard definition of anadi, beginningless, is reconciled with Krishna's apparent birth in the material world. That's a point for the anadi bodies. Yeah, because he's beginningless, but he takes birth. Yeah. Anadi means without beginning. It refers to he who is the final cause of all other things and is without cause, being self-revealing. Though he indulges in exhibiting the pastimes of birth, etc., still he is without a beginning, though without origin, yet he is with an origin in his pastime of appearance. Igdarshan Antika 533. The term also signifies that the Lord's form is not the product of someone's imagination. It is important to note in this regard that the word Abhimata Murti, meaning one's most desirable form, does not indicate that one may concoct a form of the Lord by one's own whim. Right. Most desirable form means according to our desire. Most desirable means according to what's the standard of desirability, right? Which is set by the Lord. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Brahma Samhita 533. All the forms of the Supreme Lord are anadim, or eternal. Thus, there is no question of concocting a form, because such a concoction would be adi, or the origin of the concocted form. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.4.1 purport. So, anadim. Anantarupa. The basic definition of Anantarupa is given by Srila Prabhupada as follows. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and inferior philosophers. Footnote. Proper understanding of this concept of anantarupa is essential in order to avoid committing offenses. So from CC. Sometimes foolish people ask whether when we chant Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra, we refer to Lord Ramachandra or to Lord Balaram. If a devotee says that the name Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra refers to Balaram, a foolish person may become angry because to him the name Rama refers to Lord Ramachandra. Actually, there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Ram, for there is no difference between them. However, it is offensive to think that Balaram is superior to Lord Ramachandra or vice versa. Neophyte devotees do not understand the Shastra conclusion, and consequently they unnecessarily create an offensive situation. In text 154, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarified this in a very lucid way. Ishvaratve beda manile hai aparadha. It is offensive for one to differentiate between the forms of the Lord. On the other hand, one should not think that the forms of the Lord are the same as the forms of the demigods. This is certainly offensive. Because it's the same person, it's just for the particular pastime, the particular interaction, he's taking the form. So it's not somebody different. Mm.
Right. So we shouldn't speculate, but then, let's say in the Maha Mantra, then according to our meditation, we can see different forms of the Lord.
Yeah, but still, it's all the Lord. So it's just the specialness of it. So it can mean either. It's not... The point is, since there's no difference, because also it's translated as Rama means Radharaman.
Yes.
So that you have the it's just the Lord and has all these different aspects.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So then, no, we shouldn't. It means you can contemplate what's there, but we should be very careful of how we come up with things. Right?
Yeah.
But in other words, we're dealing with these elements of this non-difference, and it's not so easy to understand. And so in some of these things we've been dealing with for years, and we're starting to get a little bit of clarity. But when somebody speculates on something and comes up with their own idea, it makes sense immediately, everybody catches it immediately. Right? Because it's actually mundane.
So the mundane mind is attracted to mundane objects.
Yeah, so the thing is, it's difficult. The actual transcendental position of these when I'm talking about where you have a contradictory thing, they'll choose one or the other or some other alternative and not deal with this multiplicity of elements at once, then it makes it very simple and easy and people accept it. So one has to be very careful. Presenting what the parampara is giving. Otherwise, if one makes one's own idea, then that's what he says, foolish people or the neophyte devotee, these things will come up. Because there's no difference. It's just Krishna in that mood. Krishna does everything, so that just happens to be how he's doing that one thing. Because we're thinking of it, oh, there's Krishna here, and then there's his here. And we're putting the timeline on it and everything, but they're all going on at the same time. So it's just Krishna being everything. He's just manifesting in all these different situations through his internal potency, expressing the particular flavor or reciprocating with his devotees according to how they're serving him. Because he says it comes for the devotees. At the same time, he also corrects all the anomalies that go on. But that's only in connection with the devotees, so it makes it interesting. Because he can correct what's going on in the world through his Brahman feature. And Maya Devi takes care of it using the Brahman feature as potency. So he doesn't have to come and correct the demons. Right? He has a big fight with Hiranyaksha or with Hiranyakashipu. That's for fun. Like that. It's not that, they're a real challenge. It's just for fun. It's for the relationship. Because they wanted to serve Krishna in that way, so he's reciprocating with that feeling. So all of them are going on at once. So it's just him and his unlimited features. But as you deal with him, that's how he'll reciprocate. So devotees are interested in Krishna and Braj, then he's reciprocating that way. But it's still the same person is reciprocating with the the residents of Dwarka with Vaikuntha, the demigods, like that. It's just how they're seeing him is how he responds. You know, for the just straight atheists and demons, he just comes as death personified. So.
I was just saying that I had difficulty in the beginning with Krishna book because Krishna just deals with the demons like that's it. It's not usually you have like a build up and a little bit of insecurity who's going to win here, but you don't really have that in Krishna book. You just beat them and you have to catch that before you actually can relish it. So.
Yeah, because it's about the interaction of the devotees that are there. It's not about, you know, trying to sell books. So it's only with the devotees. So the build-up is only how the devotees appreciate it. So there isn't the element of being scared is a taste, because eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. So fearing is a taste. So therefore, all these other things come up with that aspect. But for them, it's just about Krishna. So it only enhances that relationship with Krishna. So you only let it build as much as is useful for the relationship. You don't take it beyond, because they don't have any interest beyond that. Okay. Beside the standard meaning of unlimited forms, it has alternate renderings. Or Ananta Rupa can mean he enters the material world unlimitedly to help the jivas, because he's unlimited as super soul, the super soul as the avatars, as Brahman. He's doing all that to help the living entities. Or Ananta Rupa can mean that he has a spiritual form, which is unlimited by material standards, from a portion of which arises all qualities such as unlimitedness. Right. In other words, the quality of unlimitedness arises from the Lord Himself. Yeah. Right. It's not that the quality is there first and then there's a manifestation of that. No, there's Him and then there's other manifestations.
Well,
yes.
When we speak about qualities, feminine and masculine, quality is feminine?
Means the qualities would be, let's say, you could say an energy of the Lord, but then within each thing, because the two are non-different, then you'll have a masculine and feminine aspect. So if we're talking what we were discussing before, that the Brahman platform, then the quality itself is the masculine principle. The feminine is the forms and activities by dealing with. You get the experience of that quality. Does that make sense? No?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's there. But otherwise, then it's his character means his qualities are his opulence. So that means there has that feminine aspect. Because just everything is that combination of the masculine and feminine principle. So within it, even though they're same, by Visesha, you can always tell the difference. Does that make sense? The Lord is manifest through His internal potency. So what we're able to see is, we're saying to see Krishna through the internal potency. Right? Radharani is internal potency. But you can tell the difference. No, just not just that they look different, but also the mood. Right? That's how they at some point figure out. Krishna comes dressed as a girl, but at some point Lalita figures it out, right? Because there's a difference in the mood, the flavor. It may take a while, you know, but that's the pastime. It's the fun of fooling them for a while, and then them finding out, and then dealing with the consequences. So
he doesn't have a beard.
Hmm?
He doesn't have a beard.
No,
so it will take a little longer.
Yeah, but probably wouldn't take much time to figure out a shocky baby.
That's
right?
That's
yeah.
The point.
Yeah.
Are you a guy?
He used to work in the service.
You have an Adam's apple.
Circus. Okay. Srila Prabhupada glorifies. And says that from a portion of his spiritual form arises all qualities. Srila Prabhupada glorifies Krishna's unlimited bodily varieties in relation to the pastime of Krishna rescuing the princesses kidnapped by Narakasura. All those princesses were lodged in different apartments, and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions, exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hand in perfect rituals by his internal potency. So he personally went, and each one of the 16,100 princesses, he rescued each one in the form perfect for their mood, because he's reciprocating. This whole thing is about that. It's like we're saying here about Krishna giving himself, but the point is he even will adjust the form or the moods or everything, the qualities he manifests according to the devotee. You know, how many people you know will do that? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, you know, you're sitting there in the living room, and then, you know, the kid walks in with his friend, you know, he's, you know, there, muscly, you know, armor on with pokey things and gloves dragging on the floor, and his mom says, "What are you doing? You ruined the floor." And then he turns into this little baby. "No, no, mom, I just..." he's not doing that. Right. Krishna does, but he doesn't have to. He does them all simultaneously.
It's not a shapeshifter.
Yeah. Okay. The Vaibhava Vilas forms of the Lord, affected by his internal potency, Yoga Maya, were slightly different just to match each and every one of them. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.3.8 purport. The notion of Anantarupa, according to Srila Prabhupada, also refers to temple deities. In India, there are many thousands of temples, and within these temples, there are Archavigrahas, deities. All these Krishnas are non-different. They are one. Krishna resides in Vaikuntha and also in the temple. The Krishna are non-different, although they are Ananta, unlimited. Teachings of Lord Kapila, Devahuti desires transcendental knowledge. So it's just unlimited forms. And the whole point of it is to interact with the devotees. That's what he's doing. We see, as you know, Mahavishnu is interacting with Rama Devi, Garbhodaksha Vishnu is interacting with all the prototype demigods and sages and everything like this, and then his own associates, Lakshmi and Anta, and then Kiradaksha is with all the living entities. You know, so he's always... The point is, he's just involved with the devotees. He's not doing something else. Adyam. The word anadim, anantarupam, and adyam are illustrated in the 11th canto concerning a discussion on Shankya philosophy, where the Lord teaches that Brahman remains after the total destruction of the universes. Time merges into the Supreme Lord, present in the form of the omniscient Mahapurusha, the original activator of all living beings. That origin of all life merges into me, the unborn Anadi Supreme Soul, who remains alone, Adyam, established within himself. It is from him that all creation, Ananta Rupa, and annihilation are manifest. Thus I, the perfect seer of everything material and spiritual, have spoken this knowledge of Shankya, which destroys the illusion of doubt by scientific analysis of creation and annihilation. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.24.27 and 29. Okay. Purana Purusham. Given all the qualities already listed above, one may be tempted to state, then Krishna would also be designated as the Purusha. Jiva Goswami responds, no, he is rather called the Purna Purusha, Purana Purusha, of the person who appears before the Purusha, Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is just his expansion form. Because right, he's there, so it's, Mahavishnu is from him, like that. Navayovana. In response to the preceding statement, one could infer, then he should be very old, the rebuttal. No, he is very young, of Kaishor age, Navayovana. The word cha indicates that simultaneously he has always existed in this manner. He is not new. Inconceivably, he remains eternally young. Because here it's just because of the influence how the material nature works. Everything, it's temporary. So there must be some reason for temporary. Right? You know, something broke, then we want to know why. So it's just the nature of here. Because the jnana is how material nature works. Does that make sense? The jnana shakti, so that mode, goodness, is just we want to know how it functions. We're not interested necessarily in transcendental. We just want to know how it functions. So here then it works like that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur adds how this accords perfectly with the etymological derivation. Derivation. Did I say that right? Of the word Purana. The derivation.
No, I think it's the P again.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's not so much.
It's
not so much.
It's the P is the Purana.
Yeah.
Is P next to O or something?
Yeah, it is.
It is. Oh. Okay. The derivation of the word Purana is, quote, though existing previously, Pura, it remains fresh, Nava. This Purana and Navayovana are words that can exist together without contradiction. Because right? There's old and there's getting old.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're two different things. Mm-hmm. His graceful threefold bending form, with flute in hand, possesses eternal blooming youth, and is above all unwholesomeness that is to be found in limited time and space. In the transcendental realm, there is no past and future, but only the unalloyed and immutable present time. Brahma Samhita 5:33 purport. Vedeshu durlabham. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains why the Lord is hard to understand. The unlimited intellectual function of the jiva, the limited intellectual function of the jiva is always contaminated by the influence of time and space, and is, therefore, not in a position to shake off this limitedness. So this idea is that one, the intellectual may think, no, I can figure it out. But you can't actually shake off the limitedness of limited intelligence. Right? That's its quality. You know, you can't shake off the wetness of water. You know, so it just doesn't quite...
In the previous one, why Purana and Navayovana are equated here?
Because he's the oldest person, but at the same time, he's youthful. So that was from before, as we're saying, the seeming contradictory qualities are perfectly reconciled because there is a non-difference between the person and the qualities. You know what I'm saying? So you have these different qualities that will be contradictory here because you're dealing with different elements, and then slowly, slowly, all these contradictions work for the demise of whatever it is that's there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just like you have, let's say I take a big block of stone or something, and basically as a big block I just kind of stick it there. Okay, so it doesn't have any elements of fineness or anything else. But, you know, it's blocking this, it will remain nicely. But now I carve the stone very nicely and things like that. then if I'm not careful with it, then it can break. So you have all these things that are contradictory. They can't work together here. Mm-hmm. But Krishna can be the strongest and the most refined. You know, so that's the difference. Because there's a non-difference there. Here there's a difference. So it's only the energy here can only partially manifest. That's why it's inferior energy. It only partially manifests these qualities. So in the spiritual world, they can be, with the internal potency, they can be fully manifest. So, yeah. Okay. Vedeshu Durlabham. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains why the Lord is hard to understand. Oh, we just did that. If the potency of cognitive function does not extend to the realization of the transcendental, what else can? In reply, Brahma says that the transcendental absolute is beyond the reach of the Vedas. Because someone is saying if the potency means if your intelligent can't extend to realization of transcendental, then what can? So Brahma makes the point is that the transcendental absolute is beyond the reach of the Vedas. The Vedas originate in sound, and sound originates in the mundane earth ether. So the Vedas cannot present before us a direct view of the transcendental world. Goloka. 22, footnote 22. Lord Brahma, in the 10th canto prayer, reveals how the dust of the Brajabasi's lotus feet eludes the Vedas themselves. Quote, My greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth whatsoever in this forest of Gokula and have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of its residents. Their entire life and soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, the dust of whose lotus feet is still being searched for in the Vedic mantras. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-34. The Vedas are trying to find. Right? So it's beyond. And the Vedas are, being aparusheya, not spoken by anyone, then they're technically beyond the intelligence. So if the Vedas are beyond the intelligence and Krishna's position is beyond that, then there's no way we're going to. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. Right, so in other words, A does not equal B, and B does not equal C, so A does not equal C either.
Definitely.
According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna's confidential exchange with Brahma proceeds as follows. O Brahma, give up such an unusual obsession and pray for something more suitable to you. Then let me be born at the edge of Gokula as a stone slab or piece of cloth to take the dust from the feet of one of your menial sweepers. But Brahma, what is the reason for such glorification of the inhabitants of Braja? Do you not have shame as worshipable creator of the universe to bathe in the dust of the lowly sweeper? Brahma, but they have taken as their life, very life, the most beautiful, with smile like a jasmine flower. Without you, they perish, because they have such unprecedented love for you. You are all in all, without which eating and drinking have no meaning. Even now, the Shrutis are searching for the dust from their feet, without success. I should be more ashamed than the Vedas with my little prayers. O Lord, let that be. Previously, I prayed with Vaidhi Bhakti. Now I pray to be immersed in the ocean of nectar of Raganuga Bhakti, having become the loyal follower of the inhabitants of Braja. Sardartha Darshani Tika 10:14-34. Because we know it's only by Krishna's mercy he reveals. That's the principle. Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. Having understood who is unqualified to reach the Lord, now the qualifications are given. It is only when the Vedas are imbued with the chit potency that they are enabled to deal with the transcendental. Right, so that's why you have to hear it in Parampara. Because otherwise, just hearing themselves directly, you may or may not. These, we may get a book, it's just Veda. But the point is how are we viewing it? What's the hermeneutics we're using? We're using that which is coming in the parampara, so the chit potency is there. So when we touch it for that, it has that, it becomes imbued. We can therefore see something there. Right? But others, not having come in contact with the chit potency, even they're reading the Veda, they won't understand.
Sit at the pub with the cognac.
Yes. I wouldn't give them that much. I think they'll just sit there with beer. But
beer.
I know, I mean, if you're talking about Europe, then yes, okay. You know,
beer.
Sit there with their cognac if they're in, you know, France or something.
France.
Yeah, then that would be the cafe.
Yes.
And the pub would be beer.
Yes, of course.
But can we say that if the same guys, they would be having Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, they would have more...
There's more chance of understanding, but still one has to have the proper spirit. That's what Gita opens with. They have, because if the attitude's not right, you still won't see.
But you get your sukriti.
Yes, they're in contact with. There's definitely going to be there.
So in the Jivaswami Sandarbhas, they also get the same sukriti.
On one level, you could say yes, but on another level, they're not approaching it from the mood of the parampara. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. So not approaching with that mood. Otherwise, if they have that mood, then one can find Krishna, you know, basically anywhere. But if not, then you don't know. So there needs to be that association. So if you added that association, then they would be able to see. But even if they don't have the association, even if they're in contact with, they may not understand. That's why it's important that the process be practiced in association with people who actually are present. To get that mood, to see how they do in that interaction. Adurlabham Atma Bhakta. Okay, we just doing that. Okay. Okay, is it only when the Vedas are imbued with the chit potency that they are enabled to deal with the transcendental? But Goloka reveals itself to every jiva soul when he is under the influence of the spiritual cognitive potency, Samvit, joined to the essence of ecstatic energy, Hladini. The ecstatic function of devotion is boundless and surcharged with unalloyed transcendental knowledge. Right. So here's the Samvit and Ladini. That is the devotional potency. Yeah. That knowledge reveals Golok Tattva, the principle of the highest transcendental, in unison with devotion, without asserting itself separately, but as a subsidiary to unalloyed devotion. Brahma Samhita 5:33 purport. Devotion. So that would then therefore answer your point, is that the chit potency may be there, that it's there with the acharya, but it doesn't give the revelation, because then that chit potency is not in contact with Ladini. Because when chit and Ladini combine, that's bhakti. That's bhakti shakti. So they may be in touch with the bona fide, but because they don't have the devotion, they won't get that full understanding. And it's just like some person picks up Prabhupada's book. They're in touch with, but as they read, if they become convinced, or by the association of devotees, or by that reading, if they read enough, then they'll develop faith, then it will have that effect. Right? But before that, like you said, they're getting a jata sukriti. But until the jata sukriti increases, it won't turn into bhakti. Because bhakti means then there must be that desire to please the Lord. That's the bhakti. So you have the knowledge, you're making the proper endeavor in connection with knowledge. But knowledge isn't enough. It has to be have that devotional thing, element. Then it will make that nice combination. Jiva Goswami anticipates another doubt, and in doing so points out how Narayana is easier to attain than Krishna. Quote, but Narayana alone is praised in the Vedas. End quote. If one knows the real meaning of the Vedas, then Krishna can be attained by studying them. But actually, only by bhakti is Krishna to be known. Thus, he is easily attained by devotees. Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. Footnote 23. All devotees can attain the Lord easily, no matter how fallen their condition. So from Bhagavatam. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one obtain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth.
Terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say it for a second. So that's the thing. So that's the whole point. Only by practicing unalloyed devotion with full faith in me can one obtain me. So they're in touch with the chit potency. But there is not the unalloyed devotional aspect, and there's not full faith. So therefore, what they will gain from that association will be less. But they'll gain something, definitely. Right? They'll gain something because they're in touch with, with the acharyas. So they definitely have to get something. Is that something? Mm-hmm. Now, especially when there's tikas, you're getting more association. But if there's without tikas, you get less. So, like, let's say we're reading a Purana that's only the translation, but we're getting benefit because we're looking at it from the commentaries of the acharyas. Then we see when these words are used, then we understand them according to how the acharyas have described them. Then from that we're getting the benefit because we are practicing devotional service, so the hearing and chanting, in with that full faith that it's according to the acharyas that it has meaning. Does that make sense? While others not having that, they'll definitely gain piety, right? But not necessarily. Does that make sense? So the Vedas themselves are written, as we see, from the platform that they will have. Their purpose is revealing Radha and Krishna, but how the presentation is more generic. So only when you're coming in contact with literatures that are directly about devotional service, so Bhagavatam and those literatures in support of Bhagavatam, then you get that very dynamic devotional aspect. So that's why then coming in contact with the devotional literatures, then it will be more dynamic. Otherwise, as Prabhupada pointed out, so many people are reading Gita and not surrendering to Krishna, but then reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, then people are surrendering because they're getting that kind of association. So. But what does this devotion come from and how is it imparted? Srila Prabhupada reveals. Actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by a pure devotee. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau, Brahma Samhita 533. One cannot attain the perfection of spiritual life simply by following the directions of the Vedas. One has to approach a pure devotee. Right, so one can say, that Vyasadeva is there, he is the Lord, and so then he's written the scriptures. So then, why by reading them? But the point is it has to be, it's through the devotee of the Lord, because that's the Lord's system. you approach him not directly but through the devotees. So then the point comes up, where's the parampara? So even though if they may have Jiva Goswami's works, they haven't really approached the parampara to understand it. Therefore, some piety definitely will be there, but it doesn't have that potency of the parampara. That's where the chit potency flows through the parampara. Now, if they've received it in parampara, then it will have something more. According to Srila Prabhupada, even for the sadhaka on the path, these words carry special meaning. They emphasize a lifestyle which balances book knowledge with practical application in service. Quote, although all Vedic literature is meant for understanding Krishna, one cannot understand Krishna without being a lover of Krishna. Therefore, along with the reading of Vedic literature, svadhyaya, one must engage in devotional worship of the deity, Archanditi. Together, these will enhance the devotee's transcendental understanding of devotional service. Sisi Madhyalila 4137. So here in the devotional, svadhyaya means to study the scriptures, but then you have to engage in the worship of the deity. So when worshiping the deity, it has five aspects. So the fourth one is worshiping the deity, the fifth one is study. So that means that one has to apply that study. One has to practice the study. So you're studying and worshiping the Lord. But these others are only studying and not worshiping the Lord, so it's not complete. Not to speak of the jnanis and karmis. Even if one is a practicing devotee with a balanced lifestyle, the Lord still may be difficult to understand, as Srila Prabhupada explains. This is to be expected, since God even bewilders himself. It is not that we have to understand Krishna fully. That is not possible. We have no capacity to understand the unlimited. Advaitam achutam anadi manantarupam, Brahma Samhita 5.33. With our limited knowledge, we cannot understand the unlimited. Indeed, even Krishna does not understand himself. His attraction is unlimited, and to understand why he is so attractive, he became Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and took on the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani, Radha Bhava Dyuti. If Krishna cannot comprehend the limit of his own attraction and bliss, it is certainly not possible for us with our limited knowledge. If we can simply understand Krishna in part, that is our perfection. Teachings of Lord Kapila, approaching the bona fide guru. So it's not a problem if we can't fully understand, because even Krishna doesn't fully understand. But the point is we have to have that faith, that commitment, you know, to the devotional process. Then it will work. That works. You have more? No. So I guess we go Bhagavatam stuff?
Sure.
Yeah? I don't the Bhagavatam stuff?
I don't have any study.
Yes. Because
That happened last time. Didn't have, so now they have. I mean, unless there's other questions or something on something else. No, I mean, so I was saying, was this going to work with COVID?
No.
Oh, you want to make another track? Oh, I see. Well, is there any other questions on this, on what we've done so far in the Brahma Samhita?
Yes. Okay, I can come up with something.
And we're not forcing you to.
No. I had something, but I didn't. Anyway, the devotional worship of the deity. How exactly is that defined here? Is it Gaura Mangalarti or is it Pujari?
So Archana means you have five sections. You have the approaching the temple, that means getting up, taking your bath, putting tea, lak, chanting, guide, and all these things, going to Mangalarti. Then there's preparation of items for worship. Then there's the preliminaries of worship. There's the worship itself. And then there is studying about the Lord.
Yeah.
Studying in the practices in the lifestyle.
And it's recommended that all devotees...
Yeah, do all these things. So the point is you may not be, let's say, specifically on the altar itself and doing that aspect of puja, but you're taking darshan of the Lord, you're involved in the guru puja, you're associating with devotees, you're chanting. So swadhyaya includes chanting, studying of the scriptures, taking the prasad, worshipping Tulsi, right? You know, service to the Dham, service to the devotees. So the complete practice is there. So the archan vidhi therefore is important. So the swadhyaya here you can take just that is the study of these things. But then study in Vedic means you study it, you practice it. So you're going to apply it within the devotional process.
Could it be described as these are elements of study, also deity worship? Or, I mean, why is it saying that?
Because the fifth part of deity worship is swadhyaya, or study.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
And
is it because it's from Pancharatra?
That's Pancharatra.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, and we follow Narad Muni. Narad Muni is given the Pancharatra. So that's... We follow the Pancharatric lifestyle. To follow the Vedic lifestyle... It means the piety required would be so great.
Yeah.
Therefore, we're using the Pancharatric lifestyle. We're only using the Vedic, means it's positioned within that, but at the same time, we use it when we need to expand into social, economic, administrative kind of aspects. Then you want to use those elements from those additional elements from the Veda.
Mm-hmm.
Right, from the Vedic lifestyle. Otherwise, if you can be satisfied just in temple worship and temple service, then that's there. But how many are doing that? So then what's the next step? Right? You don't go Bhagavat, Pancharatrik, and then Malecha Yaga. Generally it's Bhagavat, Pancharatrik, and Vedic.
And Vedic, we're speaking the four Vedas and Upanishads?
It just means all the Vedic literature.
Okay. So, it's just like,
all everything. Because that brings in all these elements that we're looking for if we need something beyond just that regular just temple worship.
Yeah.
So
is it mainly for distractions? If there are distractions, then the Vedic can...
Yes, that's the whole... It just expands as you need it. You don't need it, then there's no need to.
So we don't need to get all freaked out about all these rules and the Vedas.
No, but the point is that doesn't mean that we freak ourselves out with, man-made speculative rules. But you either keep it simple or you follow the rules of the Vedas. Because the problem is, people speculate and make their own rules. And so they're not necessarily connected with the Vedas and everything, so they don't really have any meaning. But having decided that this is what should be done, if they don't follow it, they get a reaction for not following their own speculative rules. That's just because the point is you have to follow law. That's all. That's just the way it is.
So you get a reaction for preaching bogus, and then you get another reaction
for not following the bogusness that you're preaching.
So
yes.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. Yeah.
If you have Shalabhar Shila and you do your worship, would that cover all these points?
What does that mean, cover these points?
5 points of Swadhyaya. If you don't live in the temple.
If you don't live in the temple, as long as you do all 5 parts. Does that make sense? If you understand the 5 parts, then whether you're practicing at home or at the temple, but the position is the same. But the point is in the temple, then that means the occupation is basically with the deity. So if the occupation is outside that, then you have to add in the Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra element. See, the Pancharatra element, you only require Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, and Brahman. You don't require Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra for your practice. So in other words, you only require the Brahminical lifestyle and the Brahminical occupation. But if more is needed beyond that,
means his desire beyond that. Then you have to add in the administrators, the economics, and the labor class, because otherwise, then how do you get it? You want more facility, then you can only have facility if there's a protected environment. You can only have the facility if the Vaishyas are trading in it, and you can only have that facility to trade if the Shudras are making it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, then you add in those elements. So when Prabhupada is saying, you know, to establish Varnashram, he had already established 5 out of 8, so it's just a matter of the last 3. And as we noticed when we read this morning in that purport, talking about Varnashram, basically you could say 3/4 was about, you know, I mean, he had a part that was generic about the system and the Lord and his connection, but when it got into detail, the huge section on Brahmins, very, very, you know, a couple of sentences on Kshatriyas, a couple of sentences on Vaishyas, and one sentence on the Shudras. Then, pointing out how they're going back into the philosophy that they're all parts of the Lord, therefore there's a non-difference in that one is not superior to the other, but their uniqueness remains. You know what I'm saying? If I have, you know, strawberries and I have bananas, you can't really say one is superior to the other. But that doesn't, just because one's not superior doesn't mean that they're the same. You know, if I'm going to make banana bread, I can use strawberries instead.
Make banana porridge.
You could.
Banana porridge is not bad.
Banana porridge is good.
Banana strawberry mix.
I think we're getting away from the point now, but she's right.
Okay. Better than porridge, you mean?
Yes, I think so.
And strawberry bread.
Yeah, definitely strawberry bread would be a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we'll go. Oh, you just make a new track.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I thought you were going out. Okay.
You ruined it off.
Okay. That's it. Oh, okay.
Some temperature.
Yes.
I see.
Okay.
Okay, so then, page 59. We don't have it. And then he asked, should we do something else? Should we not do this?
No, this is okay. You can't just say
something.
Okay.
Something else.
We did something else.
We should discuss that. What happened to that peck of pickled peppers? What do you think happened to a bunch of pickled peppers? Yeah,
Peter
Piper with pickled peppers. Now, why? His point is, unpickled peppers you might not eat, so it might not be a problem. So they might compost or this or that. But pickled peppers, now those will stay. So it's not like unpickled peppers that would, how you say, have a tendency to go bad after a couple of days. Pickled peppers, that would last a long time. So you'd expect that the pickled peppers that Peter Piper picked would still be there, but they're not there. So that means then you can put out basically, unless they went bad as pickles, that didn't turn out as a batch. But the point is if we're worried about it, we would be worried about the pickled peppers in a state of pickledness that is proper.
Yes.
Right? So now, you take that, now what happened to those pickled peppers? So, go ahead.
Were they pickled when you picked them?
Now that is a very interesting point, is then how you would pickle the peppers on the vine before picking.
That's what I'm thinking. We may have a whole new process going on here.
So it means they somehow or another have engineered growing peppers that are already pickled.
Maybe there's more to this
I wonder if you could then, in the same light, engineer that, you know, how you say, on the tomato plant, you already grow ketchup. In bottles, right? You know, or when you plant the wheat, you know, when it comes up, it's already a spaghetti. You know, that would be cool, right? Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
So there might not be a whole lot to gain from this conversation.
Maybe we should.
Losing people.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we should lean on Shastra for a little
bit. Okay. I'm sorry, we're just shifting the Shastra too wet. Then we talked about Peter Piper, and we lost another.
This is stupid. I'm out.
Okay. Besides portioning out, okay, this is 59. That, not that it matters to anybody. Just for reference.
So they're recording.
Yeah, they're recording.
So they're recording.
Okay. I mean, the trick is to throw out some controversial questions, and then I just said 59. He already has a question.
From Brahma Samhita.
From Brahma Samhita.
No, she has to.
But we already. Why not?
We will say that the Vaishnavacharya books, some scholars are studying them in the West. So they have the tip potency. So as they're studying it, they don't get the fully devotional aspect.
Because they're not in touch with the parampara. See, they have the book, but not in connection with parampara. So one could say, well, no, but Jiva Goswami's book, Prabhupada's book, and Prabhupada has the purport. You know? And so you could say is, okay, yes, it's a study of the Bhagavatam, but the point is the Bhagavatam and its standard study along with those commentaries, that may not have been done. Right? So you have to add together. Then more important is the attitude, because they don't have that full faith, so therefore it's not being approached with bhakti. So the Haladini potency is not there. So Haladini is the prayojana. So how you'll get result without without that. Right? And then the point is that Sandini is the one that reveals the knowledge. So Sandini only reveals the knowledge when there's a combination of Sambit and Ladini. Right? Because the knowledge potency is within Sandini. Yes.
And you say it also has to do with identification?
Identification.
The devotees identify with Prabhupada, with the parampara.
Yeah, because that means there's faith.
Surrender. Yeah.
So you identify with whatever you have faith in. So they'll be identifying with their, you know, scholarship.
Yeah, so they will be
and
critical.
So then, yeah. Because if they're not critical, then they can't
they
be
lose their
scholars. Yeah, there's nothing like that, so... It's interesting that just finding fault in something, then that's considered scholastic.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, you know, you just go down this, you know. Like, there's all kinds of people that are like that.
Depressed people are very good at these things.
I would say for many people, mothers-in-laws are fabulous.
Fabulous scholars.
They would be the best scholars, right? You know. Yeah, so it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
But people don't think about it, so you know, it goes, it works.
And also the false egos are so huge that you generally don't question it, you just step away from
the
scope.
Yeah, no, because they make it very clear that it's not to be questioned, otherwise their whole world
falls apart. They're not messing around.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Yeah.
Maharaj, so what about the devotees say, like the teaching in university, I mean, or the...
It's a job, what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? Someone has a job, then they say they teach at the university. That's a job. Right? They could also be working down at Walmart.
For example, if they teach Bhagavatam, is the preaching? Is this kind of preaching?
Depends upon how they're discussing Bhagavatam.
I mean, the present, yes, academic way.
It doesn't necessarily mean academics can look at something and get nothing out of it. You know, it's just like you have a bottle of honey. you know, and it's closed, you can put, you know, hundreds of bees on the outside and no one's going to get a taste. You know what I'm saying? It's what you do that makes the point. It's not automatic. It means if your intent is so that people understand the Bhagavatam and you're trying to present what the acharyas have said in a way that's accessible to that particular audience, right, in that context they're in, then it can work. Yeah, of course. But otherwise, then generally it's a job. Because, in other words, okay, here's the one way you could check. They're going and teaching at the university. Okay? Are they getting paid?
Getting paid.
Yeah, so then it's a job. If they weren't getting paid, would they be teaching at the university? You understand? So in other words, the point is that it's their job. Now, is that all they do at the university is teach Bhagavatam or transcendental literature?
Yeah.
That's all they do?
Yeah.
Okay. And the university wants them to teach that?
Yes.
Okay. And means, no, but are you talking about that they are a staff of the university, or they're just coming in to give a, means there's a comparative religion course and they come in to teach a section on Bhagavatam?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, then that's, you're just being invited. So then it's just a matter of how expertly the devotee presents it. What is his intention for doing this? So if it's about the preaching opportunity and he's using it to apply that, you know, situation so that people can understand, then that would be preaching. He's just doing it as a way to make money, and it's something that he can say that he knows, then it will have less effect. But if he's using Prabhupada's Bhagavatam and speaking according to that, then it shouldn't be so much of a problem. You know, there'll be some effect. No, sorry. But it's just the intent on how much.
So is there some like cheat potency and transfer to the audience?
If that's the intent. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's not, if it's the intent of the audience, they'll get it. Point is, bhakti is independent. So the best is the combination of you want it to happen and they're interested. That will give you best combination. Does that make sense? So is this in your standard classes, or this is just outside of the curriculum?
So,
you know, in other words, the university is giving facility for these things to be discussed on their campus.
Yeah.
And they're willing to, you know, give some facility for people to come and do that, just to expand the educational opportunities. Or is it part of an actual required course and you're getting credits for this?
No, it's the first choice.
Yeah, so then generally in that, then you can speak whatever you like. So then you can make it very much a preaching. You just have to make it in such a way that everybody's happy and that, you know, you get invited back. You know, or unless you were planning it as a one-off thing, and just, you know, yeah. You know, so if you make one devotee, okay, great. So as long as you have plenty of universities around, then you know what I'm saying. If it's part of the curriculum where you're getting credit, then you have to work with the professors that they manage the course. Then it might be a little more. But yes, it can very much be. Why not? You know what I'm saying? So there it's just a reciprocation. You're teaching this, they're giving you something for, you know, travel and this and that.
So it's a good approach.
It is, yeah. It can be. That can be very, very nice. Right? And you can just go down and sit down on the lawn of the campus and do something. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about in your part of the world, but in some other parts of the world, they won't bother you. You know what I'm saying? So much of the college preaching before wasn't done, you know, in the college. It was done just on campus. You just go sit down on the lawn, put out a rug, sit down, do some kirtan, have books, have prasad, and just people come and hang out and like that. So wherever you can find an audience, then great. And if the university is supporting it, then they'll get benefit also.
You'll get benefit.
Yeah, well, they're the ones giving money for you to do the program, so that means the administration will get some benefit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it means the spiritual benefit. It means whatever spiritual benefit is gained there, they'll get a sixth, because they're supporting it. So keep at it long enough, and maybe you'll make the... improve the piety of the, whatever it is that you get, university administration. Yeah. Some other.
Maharaj, I can just speak something like Sri Aurobindo.
Sri Aurobindo.
Yeah, he also, I mean, he commented on Bhagavad Gita.
And he also made a commentary on Gita.
Yes.
Along with another 700 people. Yes.
And since his opinion is quite close to Vaishnavism, and if we, like, is there any cheat potency in his teachings?
So, but what's close? You're talking about words or...
I mean, his philosophy, like, you know, he also quite favor of Vaishnavism. And Prabhupada also gives good comments.
How do you define close?
That means his opinion on Vedanta philosophy.
No, but what do you mean by close?
Closely.
You have this, let's say this, you know, 100-story skyscraper. On the top there's a helipad. And the helicopter in trying to land there got close. Yeah. Yeah. Is that, you know,
nice try.
What do you mean by close?
He's Indian.
He's Indian, okay.
On the bookshelves, they're right next to each other.
Okay. Yeah, what happens when the next day you come and there's a cookbook there?
Not so close anymore.
Yeah. No, but, no, he's not. The cookbook.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, that could work. See, the thing is there's typical discussions of Vedanta, so there's common points that everybody uses, otherwise how it will be called Vedanta. You know what I'm saying? Is that, it's just like, how close are we and Buddhists? Right? We all wear bed sheets. You know? And for many of them, they even wear orange bed sheets. So is that close or no? You know what I'm saying? In other words, the elements that are close, yes, that's correct. But then the problem is the parts that are not close. Does that make sense? So Prabhupada mentions he has had, when he was in jail, you know, during the British independence movement, so they were collecting up all kinds of people and sticking them in jail. And so he had realization of Paramatma. But it's not necessarily that remained for very long. So there may be some elements of it reflected in his literature. But at the same time, as I wouldn't take it as your basic, your, you know, reading for developing bhakti. Right? But you'll find that those possibly who read Aurobindo, that they'll be open to hearing the Vaishnava philosophy. But as a devotee, I wouldn't bother. Does that make sense?
But can we use it as a preaching tool?
Well, why would we use Aurobindo as a preaching tool when we have our own preaching tool? We have Prabhupada's books. Why do we need Aurobindo's books?
For variety.
Like in China, you know, it's very, I mean, to speak publicly on religion topic is quite dangerous.
But why is Aurobindo any less dangerous?
He presents Bhagavad Gita in quite philosophical way.
So do we. It's just you have to know philosophy to understand it. See, Prabhupada has taken this technical philosophy that he's speaking and gave it in language that is easy to understand. Therefore, we think it's not very technical. But the point is you have to have a master to take something so technical and put it into simple terms. So that means Prabhupada's Gita is actually academically more technical, you know, than Aurobindo. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I mean, Prabhupada specifically, I emphasize on the side of bhakti.
Yeah, well, that's where you'll get benefit. If you don't emphasize on that, then what's the benefit? Why bother?
But people like something structural or progressive. Like,
what does progressive mean? Progressing from cat to dog, or
means from karma to jnana, jnana to
So the Gita doesn't do that. What do you think the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chapters of Gita are doing? The point is Prabhupada's Gita is so technical you can't understand it. Aurobindo uses fancy words, and because you're from an academic background, you can relate to it. Because most things that academics say, no one can understand. So you just are attracted by the language. But the content of it is, what's the point? My point is that if you're discussing Vedanta, the government is not going to appreciate Prabhupada's, you know, Gita and, you know, really love Aurobindo's. You know, they're just either going to be tolerant of both or not like both. You know what I'm saying?
For the scholars, they easily appreciate the Aurobindo's presentation.
Yeah, because it says nothing. It just gives lots of nice speculative opportunities. See, the whole idea of the academy is say something that's intellectually stimulating that makes you think, but the process is only to be stimulated to think, not to do something with what you think about. You know, it's just like jogging. Do you get anywhere? Yes, no? Yeah. So, therefore, you know, people appreciate jogging. It's just the exercise, it's definitely something's happening, but at the same time it's not too rigorous. You know, anybody can do it. You know, like that. So, it's attractive. So the intellectual activity that's stimulated doesn't do anything because there's no conclusion. That's why they like it. Prabhupada's, they'll have a problem because there's conclusion. That's the academic's disease, conclusiophobia. And it's all pervading. The academy is it's got it bad. So that's the difference. The one is speculative, and so therefore it gives you that fun of playing with it. But when in Prabhupada's, then it gives conclusion. It means you have to do something with it.
But they also do something. They
do something. They do what does he do?
They also have like farms, you know, they have some, you know, they want to establish some society, community.
Yeah, but based on what? What's it based on?
Based on Aurobindo's teaching.
Okay, but what's the point of the farm? What does the farm accomplish?
Establish the community on the principle of divine consciousness.
So what does divine consciousness mean? You also had the divine mother. So what's the divine consciousness mean?
Means close, quite close, like Paramatma consciousness.
Are you sure? Have you been inside one of their places? Go into where they meditate, where their so-called temple. What's there?
It's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Only a crystal ball.
Can you talk?
No.
No. So then how is that close to what we're doing? You know what I'm saying? If you're dealing with a razor's edge, you know, 1 nanometer, you know, to the left or right is not on the razor's edge. So it's not close. Okay, it seems closer than, let's say, you know, some guy on a surfboard, you know, in Los Angeles or something. But what is the point? Razor's edge is razor's edge. That's the width. So is it about being popular or is it about doing something? So that's the whole point, is that that's why I said those in this academic field, they're trying to please the academics, as academics. You accomplish nothing. What's the point? The idea is, oh, if they're pleased, then we can influence them. There's not about to go influence, because as soon as you try to influence, then no one appreciates you. How is Frauli and Sloboda accepted in the academy? They're not. They're considered outcasts. Why? Because they'll talk direct about the Vedic literature and this is the way it is. They don't talk Vedanta, but so they're considered outcasts. So the point is, what's the use of being in good with people that you can't do anything with? Better to preach to the academics as people, as individuals. They have their own private life. Because otherwise, then yeah, it keeps you busy. But what do you actually accomplish? You know, it's just like Prabhupada was there. When he went to New York, he was well situated. Uptown Swami, all the rich, you know, people like that. All he has to do is a little kirtan, but not talk any philosophy. You know? And so then he moved to the Lower East Side, where then you could actually present philosophy. Because it appears that it's something special, the academics are special. But are they really intellectuals in lack of conclusion? So what do you do with no conclusion? How do you call that intelligent? How do you call that practical? It's using the cognitive process or factor. But it's not doing anything with it. It's like, have you ever seen a kid's toy? It moves, it turns, it makes noise. And you can do that all day, and the kid's pleased. Is anything accomplished? That's the modern academy. Bless their souls. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty. You'll find some idea of conclusion if you're dealing with the medical, you know, college or the IT or law, right? Because they have to practically apply it. But when you're dealing on the philosophy, technically it should be the higher of the three, but they come to no conclusion. Therefore, then it doesn't really accomplish what they're supposed to do. Does that make sense? So, you know, nice, it may feel good to be in that group, but you have to be able to present Vedanta. Otherwise, what's the point? Now, if they like the fancier words, then read Brahma Samhita and then use those words. You know? It means why Aurobindo, Jiva Goswami, you know, Vishwanath, Baladev. Prabhupada just gives those technical terms in ways that we can understand them. But he's not in any way less talking as technical as they are. Just to use his words so we don't catch it. You know what I'm saying? Let us say we have the guy who, you know, is really good at riding his bicycle like that. But he's just wearing kind of regular old clothes, right? But then there's the guy who's an enthusiast who can't ride that well, but he's got the fancy bike, he's got the, you know, slick, you know, air-resistant clothes and the hat and, you know, all the different decals and everything. So now the point is who's better? You know, if you wanna sit around and talk the talk, then the buff is better. But if you actually wanna ride the bike or learn how to ride, it's the guy who knows how to deal with it. But he doesn't necessarily look so fancy.
The other one looks cool, and
it does look cool.
More fashionable.
It's more fashionable, and then therefore, but still just as shallow and useless as everything else.
I mean, why don't we present our philosophy more fashionable and more?
But what does that mean, fashionable? If you like the words, use the words. The dictionary's there. The vocabulary's there. What I'm saying: read Brahma Samhita. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's, you know, like that. The language that's used there, the technical points. Talk like that? What's the problem? All his disciples talk like that. The older Swami, they all talk like that. Because that was the way you talked at that time. That's not the problem. But why use Aurobindo? Why not just learn the language and talk our stuff? Otherwise, then you're just fashionable. And that's it. You know what I'm saying? And it'll be as temporary as fashion. And as soon as their mood changes into something else, you're gone. Point is, if it's language, use the language. But that means effort. Reading Aurobindo is easy. To use the fancy words and understand. So that means, in other words, knowing those fancy words, if you know the fancy words, then you should know what Prabhupada's talking about. So that means you're not connecting the two, so you haven't really understood what Prabhupada's talking about. Otherwise you see saying the same thing. If you have a problem, but you know, read the Sundarbhas. You know, read the Harmonist. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, also the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. You know, talk about that. Like when you came before, you'd always bring up these things about the you know, the how you know, connection with the Qi and Li and all that. Now that's a high level stuff. That's something they can relate to. But the point is, you have to know what that is, why it's like that. That they can't explain. Right? Why is it a door of no door? It is a door, but at the same time, it's not a door that you can just approach. Here's a door. So therefore, it's no door. We can explain that. For the others, it's, ooh. For us, it's just that science. He walks, he doesn't walk. That's pretty straightforward stuff for us. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're saying. We're going to offer something beyond what they're used to.
Say that close doesn't cut it because it's a science?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Close, but you know, not close enough. I mean, so there'll be elements, yes. He's based on the Vedas, he's, you know, has that kind of faith, those kind of practices. So that way it's good. So it's more pious. Mm-hmm. But pious is still not good enough. But it's a matter of language, then you use the language. Mm-hmm. You can learn the language, use it, why not? And they'll appreciate very much. Use the fancy words and, you know, the construction of how you put the words together and all that. They'll be very happy. Okay?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Chaitanya Gaura